As we continue in this sermon series, the Master's Plan of Prayer, as we're looking here at the Lord's Prayer, as it's commonly referred to, as we continue from last week, looking at the importance of the prayer here, not the actual words here as they're written, but what Jesus was meaning when he told his disciples to pray like this, or to pray in this manner. I'm 38, correct? Yeah. And generally, most people in my age group, they kind of caught that bandwagon in the 90s where they got all into computers and the high-tech gear. I kind of didn't get on that bandwagon. You can talk to Miss Nancy, our secretary at school, and she'll confirm that with you, that I don't do the whole lot on the computer thing. I'm old school, I guess you would say. I like doing it the older way of life. And when it comes to even traveling, I prefer to get a map. Every couple of years, I'll buy me an atlas because I like to study the atlas. I like to look at the pictures. When I love to plan a trip. I should have been a travel agent is what I should have went for. I love to plan a trip. I love to say, okay, it's 500 miles. How quick can I get there? I usually plan where I can eat along the way or what I can see. And I do like the Google Maps because I see it as a challenge. It says, oh, 3 hours, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to get there faster than that. But I love a map. And before we ever moved to Montana, I studied the map of Montana. I took the atlas, I laid it open, and I studied that map. I couldn't tell you nothing about Montana, but I could tell you near about where every city and town, national park, state park, large body of water. That's when I learned the Missouri River started in Montana, was over that map. I love to look at that. I love to learn from it. But that map or that atlas or that Google Maps or whatever you may use, it don't actually take you where you want to go. It just gives you some directions and some guidance to help guide you down the right road or down a certain path. No matter how much I studied it or how long I looked at it, it never moved me by itself. I had to move. I had to get in the car or whatever way I wanted to travel for that map to really be useful to me in what I was doing. The prayer here in Matthew that we call the Lord's Prayer, it is the master plan, but it's like a map. It guides us, it directs us, it tells us how to pray. Now, I love knowing that there's school athletic groups that get together before games and they huddle up and they recite the Lord's Prayer. I think that's awesome. But I think to really dig in, to really pray the Lord's Prayer is more than just simply quoting these couple of scriptures out of Matthew. I believe it's looking into the seven parts of the Lord's Prayer. It's looking into what it really says. And today we're going to be looking at the three spiritual parts of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a self-focused prayer. It's not about me, me, me. It's about God. It's about God. And it's about God. And today we're going to look at that and how we should take the Lord's Prayer and how we should use it in our prayer lives, how we should go stronger in our prayer lives, how we should use it to draw closer to God. Beginning reading here at verse 9 of Matthew 6. And Jesus is speaking. He says, "Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, Lord, I worship you and I praise you today, God, and I pray that you open my mouth to your spirit to say the words that you want me to say, God, and you open the ears and the hearts of the hearers, Lord, to take this message, God, and it will just nourish their souls and their spirits with your word. Lord, that we will leave changed today here. God, we will go out, God, with a stronger mind and a better attitude, God, to worship and to serve you, Father, today. In your name I pray. Amen. Hallowed be your name. Verse 9 there. Hallowed be your name. Not a common word. Not a lot of people go around today saying hallowed. It's not a common word, but it's a word that demands and screams honor and authority and worship and praise to God. It's a word that says he is the most high and he is the most honored of all things. Is hallowed be your name to God. We are giving our complete praise, our complete honor, our complete everything to the one God, the one creator of everything. When we come to pray, we are not to be self-seeking, but instead praising and worshiping God. Our prayer should be focused in honoring and lifting him up. Our prayer should be that he is getting the recognition that he deserves from us because he created us. And in return, we should honor him. Our prayer should always start with praise and honor to God. Jesus tells them to pray in this way, and the first things out of Jesus' mouth is, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." He says as soon as you start praying, you recognize the one who is in control, and you praise him. There's been times in life where getting a praise out of my mouth was hard to do. There's times in life when you don't want to praise. There's times in life you just want to bow down and cry out, me, 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 me. But I think here Jesus is saying, even in those times, praise the Lamb. Praise God. Praise the Father. Praise the Creator. Praise him because he is holy. He is holy. The Lord's Prayer starts off with giving God the glory and the praise and the honor that he so greatly deserves. With the words, "Hallowed be your name," we express our knowledge of God's pure holiness. We express our knowledge that he and he alone is holy. And we're just here to worship him. We were created to worship him. And by coming back to him and starting our prayer with words of praise, I don't mean you had to bow down and pray and say the word hallowed today. But I think when you bow down and pray, we should start off by saying, "God, you are awesome. God, you are wonderful. God, you are loving. God, you are mightyful. God, you are powerful. God, you are everything. God, you are creator. You, God, are holy. And God, I come to you today to praise you, to bow down before you, God, and worship you," is what Jesus is saying here. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen." We'll be honored and glorified forever and ever. Amen. God is eternal. He has always been eternal, and he will always be eternal. God was forever holy. He was holy in the very beginning, and he will be holy for all eternity. And our job is to recognize that holiness and praise him and give him back what he greatly deserves. Not only are we expressing his holiness, we are making a statement in praise to God that is all about God. We are praising God when we recognize and give him the holiness that he deserves. We are worshiping God. and praising God. That's what we were designed to do. We were designed to worship and to praise a holy God. We were designed in the image of a holy God. I love it in Genesis where it says, in our image we will create man. We were created in the image of God, by God, for God, to worship God. And when we give him back his holiness, is that not exactly what we're doing? It's worshiping him. Several years ago, I was struggling with my prayer life. I felt that my prayer life was pitiful. I felt that it didn't get past the roof of the house. I just didn't feel like I was a good prayer. And it really got to bothering me because I had surrendered to the ministry. And I felt, man, here I am, surrendered to the ministry. I had to stand up and pray. And I can't even begin to pray. God, help me, Lord, to pray. I called a pastor friend of mine. I said, man, I want to talk to you about prayer. I said, I don't feel like I'm a good prayer. I said, I just don't feel like I can get through to God. And he took me through the Lord's Prayer. He took this and he laid out the Lord's Prayer for me like I had never really looked at it before. But I remember he shared a story with me that day about this part, about hallowed be your name. And that story has stuck with me ever since he shared that with me. And the story goes something like this. There was a young man who was getting ready to go to college. He had finished high school and his dad had taken him up to the university. This had been back in the 40s and the 50s where most kids didn't have a car of their own. And dad had helped him get unpacked and get into his dorm. And dad's finna drive away. Dad takes him, you know, gives him a hug, says, son, I love you. He says, I wish I could give you everything in the world. He said, but you know, we don't have that kind of money. He said, but son, what I can give you is my name. He said, our name is honored, son. He said, people respect our name. He said, people look up to our name. He said, and as you go through college, I want you to make sure that you do things that people still look up to our name, that people still respect our name. I remember that story because now as I pray and I start my prayer, I thought, dear God, is there anything I've done today? Is there anything that I've done today, God, that hasn't brought honor to your name? God, is there anything today, God, I've done that I am sorrowful for, Lord, because I've shamed your name, God? And I believe as we pray, hallowed be your name, it's more than just simply giving him that praise that he deserves, but it's examining our hearts to make sure that we're living out what we're praying. If we went back into 6 a little bit deeper, it says go to your prayer closet to pray. Go to your private place to pray. And that's wonderful. That's great. But is the life you're living outside that prayer closet, is it reflecting what you're saying in that prayer closet? Not only are we honoring and praising and worshiping God in everything that we do, but is our lives honoring God? Are we keeping God's name holy? Are we keeping God's name powerful? Are we keeping God's name mighty in the presence of others when we're around them every day? I want never to be caught shaming my Father's name. I want to live a life that his name is always exalted and lifted on high. The word hallow comes from the word sanctify. When we are praying, we should be in the fear of God and be honoring to him and while we're praying, because he sanctified us by his blood. He is high and powerful. We need to respect God in that same respect and worship him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallowed be your name, God. We praise you and we worship you. Verse 10, in your kingdom come, your kingdom, God. Now, first off, it starts with, our Father is in heaven, hallowed be your name, referring to God. And then verse 10 says, your kingdom. Not a selfish prayer for me, but a prayer to God, to lift up God. Your kingdom come, Lord. The complete reign of God on this earth and in our lives is God's kingdom. God's kingdom has not been fully established on this earth, but it will when Jesus returns to take his children home. God's kingdom will come. We all should be eager for this return. We should be looking forward to the return of Jesus. We should be so excited. I had a conversation this week at lunch. A lady said something about somebody had passed away or was near death. She said, you know, it's scary. Nobody wants to die. I said, I don't know about that. I said, it depends. It depends on what you know where you're going once you die. I said, I ain't scared of dying. I just don't want it to hurt. But I ain't scared of dying. I don't want to leave my children. I don't want to leave my wife. But I'm not scared of dying because I know there's a kingdom on the other side of death that's way better than earth. And when Jesus' kingdoms come, everything will be perfect. But until then, when we pray, when we give God the praise and the honor and the glory, and we come to him and say, Lord, until your kingdom come, what am I going to be doing? We should be working to advance that kingdom of God. We should be working to go out and to spread the gospel. In our prayer lives, we should be praying, Lord God, how am I going to be effective in your kingdom? Lord God, what are you going to use me for today to be effective in your kingdom? God, how am I going to impact the people at my job today to be effective to the kingdom of God? We as believers are a part of his kingdom. We have been bought by the blood. We have surrendered to the king, and we are in the kingdom. We are submitting ourselves to our king every day. We're in the kingdom. And we're in the kingdom, we got to be in the kingdom work. When we're in the kingdom work, that means one thing and one thing only. That's expanding the kingdom. Our prayer life should reflect the importance of expanding the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All of these things should be added to you. If you go back and read Matthew 6:8, right before we started, I'm gonna jump up to verse 7. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8. So do not be like them, referring to the Gentiles, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek God first, seek the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. When we seek God's kingdom first, everything else gets put into place. When Jesus sent the first disciples out to go and to preach the gospel, he said, don't take extra clothes, don't take extra shoes, don't take extra food. You just go and preach the gospel and expand the kingdom, and everything else will be provided. I believe here God is saying, put the kingdom first, and everything else will come into play. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one that's guilty of this. If I am, I saw it. But at the young, ripe age of about 17, I said, hey, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Lord, a 1998 Z71 full package would be nice in the morning. If you can just have it parked right out there, take that little Nissan Sentra. I don't care what you do with it, God. Put that little truck right there, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Next morning, I wake up. First thing I do is flip them blinds open. Wasn't there? Because I don't think that Z71 would have did much to expand the kingdom of God. We moved to Montana. We had one vehicle. We needed two. I said, Lord God, I got to have a vehicle. One ain't going to work. Within a week, I had found a 1989, 90 full-size Chevrolet Blazer that if you didn't hold the steering wheel just right, it would go dead while driving. Picked it up for $500. All right, we expanded the kingdom of God. We did a lot of work driving that truck around. When you pray for the kingdom of God, everything else gets provided. There's nothing wrong with having a new vehicle. If you have one, you're awesome. Okay? I'm not preaching against new vehicles. But I'm preaching that if we put forth the kingdom of God, when we pray, if we seek God's kingdom, we don't seek our own self wants. He provides the needs. He provides the needs each and every time. But the first thing we got to remember is we got to honor Him because He created us. Secondly, it's His kingdom. It's not ours. And we got to work to make it more and more for more people. We put the kingdom first and we keep going. And He will provide the need. God knows our needs. So when we pray, let's focus on the kingdom, not on ourselves. Let's focus on the kingdom and expanding the kingdom. How today can I affect God's kingdom? How am I going to affect God's kingdom today when I pray? Am I going to pray for a new Z71? Am I going to pray, God, just give me the boldness tomorrow when I get the chance to speak that I can tell somebody about Jesus? God, tomorrow when I'm in that classroom and I want to just go crazy on one of them kids, Lord, just let your love shine through me that they can see you through me, God. That's praying the kingdom prayer. It's not no long, drawled out, however long you praying that God will use you. Do you know what? When we pray for the kingdom prayer, when we get our mindset that we're going to pray to advance the kingdom of God, the next point comes a lot easier. I learned that when you pray for the kingdom work, the third point of your will be done, it comes a lot easier. Because Jesus tells them, He says, your kingdom come, God's will be done. That's a tough one. I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but I can be a little selfish from time to time. I like kind of doing things my way. I've been referred to as a couple of different barnyard animals before because I can get a little stubborn. But I believe that when we're here and we can do the will of God, when we set our mind that we're going to do the kingdom work and I'm going to say, God, your will be done. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I never dreamed, I never prayed, I never asked God, you can ask my wife, to move me out of Smith, that'd be a lie, to move me out of Mississippi. I never prayed it once. But I did pray, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go, God. And I prayed, your will be done, Father. And it all worked out. Warren Wiersbe said, the immediate purpose of prayer is the accomplishment of God's will on earth. I'm going to say that again. The immediate purpose of prayer is the accomplishment of God's will on earth. Not Bill's will, not Lee's will, not any of your wills, but it's God's will. What God wants is the accomplishment of prayer. We clearly see this by Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26 and 39. They had been at the Last Supper. He knows that the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion is coming. He goes and prays. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and he goes, as the Bible says, he goes a little further with them. And he says, y'all stay right here. I'm going a little bit further to pray. And Jesus gets down and he begins to pray. The Son of God is praying. And he says, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, or he says, if there's any way else, Lord, your will can be accomplished besides me going through what I'm fixing to go through, God, that would be awesome. But he says, not my will, God, but your will. And he was arrested and crucified for us. Jesus prayed, "Not my will, God, but your will." When we pray, when we fall down before our Savior, we should be praying, "Lord, not what I want to do. Lord, not where I want to go. Lord, but your will be in my life." We should be glorifying God with honoring Him. We should be praying to be effective in the kingdom of God. And we should pray, "Lord, let your will rule my life. And that I will take all my selfishness. I will take all of my wants and my me's. And I will put it behind me, God. And I will go forth to the will and to the way of God." When we submit to God as our Lord and Savior, we are submitting to His authority. The day I surrendered my life to God, it was more than just getting saved and knowing that I was going to heaven. It was me saying, "Man, God, you are awesome and you are powerful and you died for me, and I am submitting myself to you." James says, uses the word in James, a bondservant of Jesus, to be used by Him. As we're praying, let's remember to seek God, to seek His kingdom, and to live a life that is God's will. There in the last part of verse 10, it says, "God's will in heaven and in earth, on earth as in heaven." I often think, you know, everybody thinks, what is heaven like? Well, nobody really knows. But I just can imagine that before God even completely gets it said out of His mouth, that the angels have already done it, because it was God's will in heaven. And when God created earth, He created earth and He wanted it to be just like that. That when He spoke, it happened. Little thing called sin come in and it messed that up. But I believe God's ultimate design is for us as Christians, as believers, as men and women, children that have surrendered our life to God, when God speaks to us, we instantly should obey and do His will. And I don't know about you, but how many of us in our life at some point have ever prayed, and I am guilty of this in my past, I'm not going to lie, "Lord, just let me know what your will is, God, and show me what you want me to do in the future, God. In the future, Lord." As in, not today. It kind of reminds me of the sign in the restaurant that says "free food tomorrow." It took me a week to realize what they were saying, but they let me finally get it after the seventh day of coming back. When we pray for the will of God, it's not, "Well, after I get married. Well, after I've got kids and I've raised my children. Well, after I've graduated high school." When we pray for God's will, we're praying for God's will right now, here today. God has a will and a purpose for you today. He's got one for you tomorrow too. And He's got one for you 20 years from now. But right now, He's got one today. And He wants you to be about the one for today. So as we pray, pray, "God, your will be done in my life. And whatever that is, God, I will be receptive to go." Don't miss out on what God has for you now. The greatest regret I'll probably ever have in my life, and I don't have a lot of regrets. I made my mind up a long time ago. I wasn't going to be lying on my deathbed and, "Man, I wish I'd have done this." Greatest regret I'll ever have is I didn't surrender to Jesus Christ until I was 26 years old. That's the greatest regret I'll probably ever have. I wish I would have surrendered earlier and began the work earlier that God has called me to. That is my only one regret. God had a will for me. He has a will for you. He has a will for right now, this very minute, to be doing His work. David Cho, the founder of the Full Gospel Church in South Korea, a real small church, only about 480,000 members in the church. One of the largest, if not still the largest single church in the world, said, "When you pray the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer, you've prayed for every area of your life and for every, and you've prayed in every way expected by God." Now, today we've only looked at three. We're going to finish this series out over 2 more weeks. We're going to look at all the different ways of praying the Lord's Prayer. But when we effectively go to the Lord in prayer. Now, there is nothing wrong with quoting the Lord's Prayer. I don't want anybody to think that's what I'm saying today. But praying is simply more than just, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive me my debts. Excuse me. That's what I used to do when I go to sleep every night. Just say this. Quick as I could say it, get it over with, I'd said my prayer, I was good. It's more than that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need a stronger prayer life than just memorization, some verses. You need to dig in and say, how am I going to praise God? Why am I going to praise God? What am I going to do to expand the kingdom of God? And what am I going to allow God to do in my life today that's going to affect somebody else? That's how we pray. That's how we move. That's how we are moved by the Spirit of God. Wouldn't it be nice to know that each day of our lives we are praying for every area of life in every way expected by God? Now, I don't care if you pray for 15 minutes a day or if you pray for 3 hours a day. Time does not matter. I believe as long as you're praying in an effective way that you're covering every area that's expected by God, you are getting the job done and you are growing as a Christian. But there's only one way to ensure this happens, and that is following the biblical pattern of prayer, God's master plan of prayer. Going through this and looking exactly what he wanted us to do. I'm not fixing to tell you that you had to say these same exact words. But I feel an example of praying the Lord's Prayer of just what I've preached today. It's simple, as simple as, God, you know, you're awesome. And Lord, you are holy. Lord, you are wonderful and you are above all and you are almighty. And God, I come to you today, God, and I want to just expand your kingdom. I want you to use me in a mighty way, God, that I can lead somebody to know you that doesn't know you, God. And Lord, I want to be about your business, and I want to be in your complete will, God. And if that means I've got to go to Billings, or I've got to go to Brazil, or if I just got to stay right here in Carbon County, God, I'll do it because I want to be in your will, God. Simple as that. Is the beginnings of praying the 7 petitions of the Lord's Prayer. It says don't go on with meaningless repetition of words. God knows what you need. God knows your thoughts before you say them. But he still wants to hear you pray out and ask out in him. As the praise team is coming this morning, just get ready to close today. Lee mentioned this last week, and I believe it's so true. Until you become a Christian, saying the Lord's Prayer is meaningless because you've got to be a born-again believer of Jesus for the prayer to really mean what it can mean. The only way to effectively have a prayer life is to be a believer of Jesus Christ. And to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today, Pastor Lee is in the back. I'm going to be right up here in the front. And if you want to come and give your life to Jesus, there is no better day than October the 15th of 2017 to surrender your life to Jesus. But maybe you're saved. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe it was like me just a few years ago, and you didn't feel like your prayer life was getting past the ceiling of the room, and you just want to come and talk to us and pray. Maybe you got a need in your life. Maybe there's a struggle. Something's hindering you and holding you back from doing the will of God because there's just an area of your life that you have not fully surrendered to God, and you want prayer for that today. Whatever that is. Whatever the situation, whatever the need, we're here for you. I'd love to pray with you. Lee would love to pray with you. Somebody else you know that here, I'm sure they would love to pray for you too. But as we close out this service today, I'm going to open up this altar, open up this church to you to be used for the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day, God.